It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a message from the American Medical Association. The man you are about to hear is Robert Korch, 38 years old, father of four, from Des Moines, Iowa. He was a normal man until a year ago when he contracted a disease that strikes one in every 200 million Americans. Robert Korch has Elmer Fudd's disease.
Hello. I have been afflicted with a very, very dreaded disease.
I'm driving in my car.
Flashing back to the 80s.
Oh, great Scott!
The Morning Zoo Reunion on CBS FM.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for listening to CBS FM. It's the big show powered by our friends at Stu Leonard's today. They provided breakfast for the crowd this morning.
Where is Stu? I want to see him.
I don't think Stu's hanging around here this morning.
That's the most amazing spread of food.
He smells like smoke? Ham smoke.
His wife makes him take a shower in the garage or something.
They have a shower in their garage. When he comes home, Kim says, you got to get the...
Hose yourself down, buddy.
You better hose your body down.
He's adorable.
You smell like smoke, ham smoke, or some kind of smoke. It's the Friday Big Show and the Zoo Reunion. John Bell is with us today. The Claire Stevens, the lady of the early morning zoo, and Ross Brittain with today's forecast.
Yeah, it's going to be nice today. Partly sunny with a chance of a shower later on and a high in the lower 60s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and breezy with a chance of afternoon showers and a high around 60. Right now, 49 going up to 62 in Midtown.
We got Dino on the board this morning. Andre's producing this mess and Patty Steele by my side. Mm-hmm. You got a special event going on, right?
Well, we have a P1 listener, Mark Friedman, and his daughter is getting married tomorrow, Dana. He said, you know, I'd love to be there, but kind of getting ready for the wedding. And so we wish her the very best. She's wonderful. She actually helped me line up my vaccine 2 years ago or whenever we started getting the vaccines.
What a sweetheart.
She was wonderful. Yeah, really.
You old
really
line helpful. Jumper, you.
But we love Mark and Dana. You're amazing. And happy, happy day tomorrow.
Congratulations to the New York Mets. They won their first game of the season. Any Mets fans in here today? I'll tell you what, they were all worried about not having DeGrom on the mound. Tyler McGill.
Right.
He looked as good as DeGrom last night. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be that way all season, but he did a great job. They beat D.C. 5-1 last night. The Nationals went down, only had one run. They do it again tonight. And the Yankees opening day today against the Boston Red Sox at Yankee Stadium today.
It's a good thing they didn't do it yesterday. What a mess.
Oh, that was hard. I got to tell you, if you have dogs, that's a rough day. I was in charge of that yesterday. Boy, what a mess that was.
Mine got groomed yesterday, but I brought them home and they needed to go outside. Mm. They came back in and poof, they were nothing but curls again.
They looked horrible. You know, one of my favorite memories from the zoo was a young guy who wanted to get into radio. I think when he was 5 or 6 years old, he was a zoo listener, honest to God. He would call the zoo. I don't even know if you remember this one, John. You got a memory like an elephant. And the guy, lucky enough, turned out he makes his living in radio now. He produces iHeart podcasts.
Wow.
His name is Eric Nagel. But the first time he called us, he couldn't say that. Let's go back
and say his own name.
Not exactly. He had an alias when he was 5 years old.
It's Eric Lugo.
Eric Noogie.
Eric Noogie.
Eric Lugo.
Eric, what are you doing, man?
I'm just hanging out.
Hanging out. Well, how come you're not in school, Eric Noogie?
Because I have to go somewhere, and besides, I'm sick.
Oh. Have you ever thought about changing your name from Noogie?
No, it's not Eric Noogie. It's Eric Lugo.
Is that your kid back there crying?
No, she's not crying.
Is that your daughter?
My niece.
That's your niece?
Mm-hmm.
Are you married, Eric?
No, not yet.
How old are you, Mr. Noogie?
26.
You are 26 years old, huh? What kind of car do you drive, Mr. Noogie?
Mercury Lincoln.
Mercury Lincoln.
That's gone.
Let me ask you a personal question. What year were you born in there, Mr. Noogie?
19. Wait.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Mr. Noogie?
Yo.
Yo, Eric. Seem to have a bad connection.
Your time is up.
Hello?
You're number one in the whole Bronx area of Co-op City. You're number one.
Who are you?
I'm Ira from the Bronx.
Ira?
Yeah, and I always listen to you and Ross Britton every morning. That's right.
I'm not so sure whether I'm happy about that or not.
You should be happy. Yeah. Hey, Shannon, where do you tape your show, your TV show?
You're the last person I'd tell that to.
Want to hear a real cute joke? Three little old ladies walking down the street, and they were approached by a flasher. The first little old lady had a stroke. The second little old lady had a stroke. And the third little old lady couldn't reach.
Man, that's
the same morning zoo.
Oh, my God.
Was that legal in those days?
Yeah, never. I got to tell you what. We were a family broadcast. That was our, you know, that was our aim. But a couple of times we walked right up to the line.
And fell over.
And no, I didn't say that. You said that. I'll show you a little example of that in just a few minutes. Also, we're waiting for Mr. Leonard to show up. He promised he'd be here today. I gave him all the directions and everything. So far, no Mr. Leonard. Coming up, your shot to win tickets to see Elton John in concert and more. The Morning Zoo on CBS FM.
Well, there's a show that's been on.
CBS FM with a Big Show Morning Zoo reunion.
The Morning Zoo.
And now, more zoo memories.
Zoo memories.
We're going back to the early 80s. Back then, we had to have, like, some of the guests actually sing the jingles because our budget was shot.
Yeah, we spent so much money on the station, on engineering. There was no money for a weatherman.
They could look out the window.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Which we do now.
Look at that. Look what's out there.
We were lucky that they paid us. There was no money for contests, for jingles, for giveaways, other than, you know, stuff that they put together the station, you know, the equipment and all that stuff.
Right.
And because there was no money and we were so desperate to have a jingle, we had to have Scott sing the jingle.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah. Here he comes.
Well, the long clock's ringing my head. Can't get to sleep, it's so rough.
So rough.
Getting up in the morning, so tough, so tough.
Zoo, the zoo.
Well, I'm cutting myself when I shave. And my hair won't even behave. There's only one thing left for me to do. Crank it up to the Z-Morning Zoo.
Good morning from the Z-Morning Zoo.
You could have had a career.
Yeah, no.
Not as a singer.
I couldn't have a career. I could have a career just as long as I didn't sing.
But we had no money, so you had to.
Yeah, we didn't have any money. Coming up, we got Elton John tickets if you're listening. Big shout out to Mr. John McConnell. He's tuned in today. And I've got a memory.
Uh-oh.
And I ran it past Ross. He couldn't remember it. I even talked to our historian, Charlie. He didn't remember it. But there was a story that we might have made a little bit of.
Might have.
Because at that time, PLJ was the competitor.
Yeah.
That was long before I got over there. Then it changed a little bit. But there was a time when we would do these little skits about PLJ, and we called them Wimpy Radio.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
And what we did was they hit some tough times, and they had to move out of New York City because the lease on the radio station was so expensive they couldn't afford it anymore. So we announced that they were moving the studios to New Jersey, a brand new location in New Jersey, and They were gonna operate out of lane 14 of the Boonton Bowling Alley in Boonton, New Jersey. So we talked about that on the radio, and JR took it. We taped Jim Kerr while he's doing a show, and I said on the radio, I said, I'd like to tune in and see what it sounds like. I've never heard a radio station broadcasting from a bowling alley before. So we tuned in, and we used the tape from the day before of Jim Kerr, and we put the bowling alley sound effects in the background. And I said, well, that sounds pretty good. And Ross goes, no, it doesn't. That's because you got bowling balls rolling around in the background.
Exactly.
And, they didn't like that. Jim was...
Really?
And I said, if you want to send Jim a note, I'll give you the address. It's Lane 14 of the Boonton Bowling Alley. I think it was on Myrtle Avenue.
Yeah,
sounds
Myrtle
right.
Avenue.
Still there.
Yeah, the bowling alley's still there?
Yes, it is. You want to go play?
Well, not only did they have a radio station, you could actually buy shoes there. They used bowling shoes. Coming up, tickets to see Elton John at 8:30 this morning. More Zoo memories on CBS FM.
CBS FM presenting the Big Show Morning Zoo Reunion.
The Morning Zoo Reunion.
With Scott and Patty
and the original Morning Zoo crew.
Ross Britton,
Claire Stevens,
and Jonathan B. Bell.
7:34. Thank you, all the people who decided to come on out in this horrible weather. It's not as bad as it was yesterday.
No, right.
Thank you. You are courageous and faithful.
And thank you to Stu Leonard as well, because he brought a beautiful spread for us for breakfast.
Oh, my God.
I just wish he brought himself. That would have been a bad
one. I saw Claire sneaking back there.
I did.
Claire sneaking back there. Now, our friend Jonathan B. Bell is noted for his memory. He's got a great memory, and I don't. I mean, I just worry about what I'm going to do today.
Yeah, well, that's always been the case, Scott.
Oh!
Nothing new, right?
Now, what are some of your fondest memories?
Oh, well, my fondest memory is one I've never shared with you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, crap.
And that's because I was on the show. My tenure on the show was very tenuous in the beginning.
It was tenuous.
Nobody was sure what I was going to do.
There's a big question mark on that.
Exactly. But you didn't know that there was another side to that story.
No.
Because about 10 days, maybe 2 weeks into the show, one afternoon, the girl I was dating at the time said to me, John, how's the show going? And I said, you know what? we are in big trouble. She said, what do you mean? I said, this guy from Tampa doesn't know anything about New York radio.
Redneck.
He's calling out the top stars. We're going up against the elephants of the radio business, and he's calling Larry Berger, Larry Booger, and he... And he was doing this bit we did on the bowling alley thing. I said, you don't treat people like that. Nobody's going to listen to us.
Remember when we flushed all the stations?
Yeah, I remember that.
We had people calling in and made the switch.
I remember when you spent...
What station did you flush? I flushed. Remember, KHK was a country station then. And they flushed, WNBC. And all the stations, and we had a toilet flush. And the guy who wrote for the Daily News was...
David Hinckley.
No, not David Hinckley.
Oh, George Maxian.
George Maxian. This guy hated me.
You know what
and
he said?
And he did a review, and I'm a new guy in New York, and the New York Daily News, a guy, it's a Z100 horrible radio station. And my wife read that, she said... Are we going to be okay? Do we have to move back to Tampa?
Well, should I tell him the rest of the article? The article said, Scott just flew in from Tampa. I hope he bought a round trip ticket.
Yep. John, when did you start to believe in it?
I started maybe at the end of the first year.
I wish I'd have known that. I'd have thrown your ass out. Yeah. One of the guys told me, says, Mr. Bell is a little nervous about your being here. I said, what do you mean? Well, he's had job security. He worked at the old station.
Yeah.
He was in charge of the radio tennis play-by-play.
No, more than that, Scott.
No, that's all you did there.
Wow.
And he told this fellow, he says, should I be looking for another job? Is this going to last? Now, Patty had a different deal. She wasn't even living in New York. She was a DJ in St. Louis at the time.
Yeah, I had just gotten out of college. Funny enough, my first job in radio, professional radio, was at a station called Z100.
Wow.
But not
St.
this
St. Louis. No.
St. Louis.
No, it was in a building that had been condemned. We were the only thing still in the building. But they called themselves Z100. And I don't know if it was because of this Z100 or if it was...
No, it
was at 100.3, so...
There's a good chance it had something to do with this one. Now, the thing about it is when we first started, everybody laughed at the station. Remember that, Ross?
Oh, yeah.
They said, Ross, you just got canned over at WABC. Why'd you go there? You're going to get canned again. That guy's terrible. And when we first started, the first radio... Remember when the first radio ratings came out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You people had a weird... You were worried.
Well, you know what? I walked into the studio one morning, and here's Ross Britton with a toy helicopter holding it up over a microphone and pretending he was Captain Somebody doing
Cornfield.
The traffic.
Yeah.
I said, you got to be kidding me. This is New York radio. What is this guy doing?
So, John, you didn't believe for the first year. What about you two, Claire? Ross?
Claire was just happy to have a job in radio.
That's true. Oh, no, I had one. I came to Z100 from another radio station.
Yeah, but not a real one.
No, that's true.
Did you believe right away, or did you say, I'll go for the ride?
You know, I think I didn't realize what it was all about at the time.
Mm-hmm.
She had no clue whatsoever.
You didn't know enough to be scared.
She wound up giving away the Claire briefs, briefs.
Well, look what I happened to
She brought them with her. She did not wear them here and take them off.
No, they're clean.
News really?
Briefs.
They're clean.
Yes.
Now, let's go back. And we redid this for the movie because we didn't have the original... the original tape on this, but this is basically what happened.
October 1983. The new radio ratings are out. And quite frankly, our little baby radio station, Z100, didn't do too well. We wound up in 20th place, right down near the bottom of the barrel. Well, after the ratings came out, we all got together at the radio station and decided that we're not going to give up that easy.
All right.
We're going to set a new goal, and we'll reach that goal. We are going to go from worst to first. You heard right. Z100 is going to go from worst to first. And that's a promise. We're going to increase the amount of music we play. We're going to give away even more $100 bills. We're going to buy some advertising on television. We're going to do everything we can to be your favorite radio station. But we need your help. Tell everyone you know about the new Z100. Tell them that we're going from worst to first. And you can take that to the bank.
I remember back then the radio ratings, they came over the wire, the AP wire.
Right.
And I ripped them. I took it off the wire machine and I came in and I started reading. The new radio ratings are out and we suck. That's what I said. We suck. And I read all of them down. We were actually number 50.
Ooh. Yeah.
So, we were number 50. Stations from Philadelphia were beating us.
Yeah. That's when I started sending out my resume.
Yeah. Looking for another station to carry that play-by-play tennis. You ever heard that on the radio? Billie Jean King. You'd have to make all the sound
that
effects
little and
the
clapping.
Yeah, real
like a golf clap.
Well, things worked out pretty well because 74 days later.
That's it.
Yeah.
And the next radio ratings came out and they looked pretty good.
Pretty good.
We're going from worst to first.
What I have here are the advanced ratings, and this envelope, hot off the presses, has been hermetically sealed in a mayonnaise jar on Funkin' Wagnalls' front porch. Okay, here's the scoop. They did it. They went from worst to first.
All right. Scott Shannon's next up.
That's right. He's going to tell us how his station went from worst to first.
Scott Shannon's Morning Zoo took the station from worst to first in 74 days.
And in that short time, lived up to its slogan, from worst to first.
And took the station from worst to first.
The Morning Zoo Reunion.
So it worked out all right, right, John?
Yeah, it did work out.
Okay, you didn't have to go back and find another place to do the play-by-play tennis.
Was that local TV covering it?
Yeah.
Wow, how cool is that?
Yeah.
It was, and then they flew me. I was on Oprah one day. I'm shaking. My hands are shaking. And Oprah says, wow. And Scott Shannon said, humble. I wasn't so hot on. I wasn't used to doing network television. It was pretty crazy. Anyway, coming up, we got those tickets. Now, is Mr. Leonard coming
or not? You know what? He told me he was going to be here on time this morning.
Oh, yeah.
So you know what that means.
He's already an hour and 44 minutes
late. Yeah, he's late for on time.
an hour and 44 minutes late already. Coming up, Elton John tickets. It's the Big Show and the Zoo Reunion on CBS FM.
The Zoo in the Morning.
Live from New York City. This is the Morning Zoo Reunion Spectacular.
Thank you so much for being with us today. It's Scott and Patty along with some special guests today, Ross Britton, Claire Stevens, and Jonathan B. Bell, and Mr. Leonard, who will probably be along shortly.
Yeah, probably.
Right. He might not be feeling too well. I don't know what's going on there. You know, I was just looking at things. Our breakfast provided by our friends at Stu Leonard, and we are in an area where there's, seven different radio stations, Patty?
Yes, sir. Seven of them here.
1010 Winds, mm-hmm. News Radio 880, and the Fans here, among others.
Yeah.
And they've done a fantastic job bringing breakfast in here.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at this memo I got last night from Jess Clark.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know her. She's got a long, long title. She's got about three different jobs. She got three name tags. And Jess and Lauren run our whole promotion department, and they service all these different, they work for all these different stations.
Careful. They're wonderful.
And I got this whole list. Look at this, Ross. This is how 4:30 a.m. promo team arrival on site at 3:45.
Wow.
Launch B-roll footage, logo rotation. 5:15, Stu Leonard's delivery in the loading dock. Ba 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 ba. 5:30, James and Georgia check-in table. 5:40. It's like I'm on some
a movie shoot.
A military maneuver.
Yeah, really.
6 a.m. broadcast begins. No food in the performance space.
Uh-oh.
Oh boy.
It goes on and on. The whole thing's laid out, and then we come in and screw it all up.
As usual.
It's just crazy. Now, some of the cool things about working here, when we first started, we were located in Secaucus. Although, for some reason, people believed we were in New York.
Well, you kept saying top of the Empire State Building.
Well, that too. But... from the Gorilla Building.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That. Well, we didn't have a tower there, right?
When we first started, yeah. We couldn't get anybody to come visit as a special guest, Secaucus. Mm-hmm. And back then, Secaucus was rooted in the 50s and 60s. Believe me.
Oh, yeah.
It was really something there. John, you knew around. You knew your way around.
Well, I kind of grew up in that area, but Secaucus was just a swampland.
Well, anyway,
so it wasn't anything but
back then, cabs didn't go to that part of the tri-state area, so no one would come over there. We didn't. The record companies ignored us,
yeah,
because they thought we were like a little New Jersey radio station serving Secaucus and Montclair.
But the good news was, I was coming out of the city at rush hour and going back after rush, and nobody was going that way. Because you're
that was your good news,
rush
huh?
Hour. Yeah.
and remember, we used to say, you know, because the record, we had to buy our own records.
Yep.
Well, honest to God, we had to buy our own records. And at that time, when you're a new radio station, you're just getting started, you play the same songs a lot. Play them like every hour and a half to get people to listen. You play all their favorite songs. So people would call up and complain, and I would tell them, well, that's the only songs we got here. We got to play them because that's all there is.
We had 22 records, I think, Scott.
So I said, we're going to send Frankie Blue. He's our assistant music. We're going to send him in. He goes on Thursdays to Tower Records. If there's anything you think he should get, let me know and I'll give him the shopping list.
Right.
And the other thing, we couldn't get stars to come in. You know the whole story. If you've seen the movie, you know the whole story about our first guest was Tony Orlando. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a record out. He didn't have any. He was, you know.
How'd you get him again?
Well, we had a kid working there. Remember that guy, Ross?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was his name?
William Brownstein.
William Brownstein right. Worked there. And he was a nice kid, but he was a little nerdy.
How did he get Tony Orlando?
Because he worked. He's a like a intern, uh-huh. And he worked the Jerry Lewis telethon. And he's right. And he heard me bitching in my office one day. His wife says, I can't believe we can't get anybody to come here and be our guest on the show. No celebrities would come. And he said, Mr. Shannon? I said, what do you want, William? He said, I have a friend of mine who could be your guest. I said, who's that? He said, Tony Orlando. I said, William, how the hell do you know Tony Orlando? He's a friend of mine. How do you know Tony Orlando? Well, because I work at the Jerry Lewis Telethon, and he hosts it for New York. I said, all right, I tell you what. You go ahead and get me Tony Orlando.
But he did.
He did.
And want to move over there and then?
Yeah.
And he did. And Tony came over, first guy to do it. And from then on, the people, after the ratings came out, we were number one. What happened then, Claire?
You know, we had really some amazing guests when I thought back. I've sort of made a list here of people that stand out in my mind. And, God, we had Sting. We had Billy Joel. Paul Simon. Oh, well, of course, John Bon Jovi. He was up a lot.
And your friend, Neil Diamond.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I did an in-store appearance with him at Tower Records after that broadcast. Bill
and Eddie Murphy on. I remember that. Mm-hmm. He came over.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Elton before and Hall & Oates.
What about when Stevie Wonder came over in a van And he had his keyboard in the band.
Yeah, he brought it in.
He brought it up
and he played while he was on the air. It was
He made up a song saying, Z100 has no donuts for me in the morning.
He did?
Yeah, because we used to have donuts in the little green room.
So, we didn't have them. I tell you, one of my favorite guests was, does anybody remember Hulk Hogan, the wrestler?
Oh, yeah.
So he comes up there. And he's got this big boat of a car. I don't know if it's a big Lincoln or a Cadillac.
It was a Cadillac.
It was a big Cadillac. And he made the mistake of parking in somebody else's parking spot. And here's what happened.
Now, does anyone remember the day professional wrestler Hulk Hogan stopped by the zoo?
Yeah, and he parked his car in Mr. Leonard's parking space?
I'm calling downstairs from the paper, and I am madder than that.
What is the problem? Come on.
Some idiot, some pencil neck geek is parked in my parking space.
Someone's parked in your private parking space?
Can't they read it says Mr. Leonard, L-E-O-N-A-R-D. I'm going to hit him upside the head so hard, his pea brain will be rolling around his head for a week. Boy, you might just call the police already. Go ahead and call an ambulance now.
Wait a minute. We could just have it towed, Mr. Leonard. What kind of car is it?
Let me see. Hold on. It's a Cadillac, a red 85.
A red 85 Cadillac,
yes,
parked in your parking place, and you're going to wait downstairs so they come out to get the car and beat him to death.
You better call the ambulance now, Scott.
Hulk, what kind of car you got, man?
Yeah. Well, you know, man, I've been sitting here just taking all this gaga in from that little old limp-wristed Mr. Leonard, you know, and I wanted to tell the dude in person I wasn't going to admit that it was my ride out there, you know.
Yeah, you were quiet.
I was hoping that he would come upstairs here, but as far as Mr. Leonard, he don't even have enough credentials to drive a car, you know. The dude talks about a parking spot, man. He don't have no parking spot out there. He couldn't even afford to hire DC cab to bring him over here. And you know what? I'm going to come down there for that Mr. Leonard, and they're going to not only need an ambulance, they're going to need a double-decker stretcher, because when I snap him in half, they're going to put his shoulders and head
Mr.
on the
Leonard,
top of the stretcher.
I found out whose car that is.
That's right. It's my car.
Mr. Leonard?
Oh, Mr. Leonard, that little girlish little laugh you get on there, you know, you probably got Roddy Piper's skirt on downstairs in the phone booth, because, you know, there ain't nobody home upstairs in your brain, and I'm sure there ain't nothing downstairs under that skirt.
Mr. Leonard, I think Hulk's coming down to move the car and then speak with you about it, so don't move.
Yeah. Well, you think you're mad now. Wait till you find out and let all the air out of your tires.
No.
Morning Zoo Reunion.
CBS FM.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.